This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
The following is a live copyrighted presentation. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time now for RadioLawTalk.com with your host, Frederick Penny, attorney at law. And now, RadioLawTalk.com.
And welcome back to Radio Law Talk, getting ready to start the third hour here on your favorite radio station. You know, I hear that intro music and I feel like, again, I feel like I'm in a scene from Braveheart, you know.
And you got to see him. He pumps up. Yeah. He gets his arms going, and he's trying to show his physique.
Trying to put on the war paint, and, you know, Denise is averting her eyes as I put the kilt on.
We've got ladies lined up along the plate glass windows that, you know, provide a window into our studio here from the outside of the studio.
You know, I would just say that if I did have that profession, that sort of entertainment type profession, it would be the first time people were lining up throwing money saying, put it back on, put it on, put it on. I start out wearing a dress. My show is over with and I'm wearing, you know, a parka. A parka, overall,
you look
ski
like
boots.
Nanook of the North when the show is all done. Yeah. Well, one of the ladies looking in actually has more than one tooth, which is
surprising for this area.
I'll tell you what, that's a step up. You know, I mean, look, I've told the joke several times. You know how, I'm not going to name the town that I was raised in, but do you know how you can tell that the toothbrush was invented in the town that I was raised in?
Because, oh, I know, but I want you to say it.
Yeah, yes. Because if it had been invented in any other town, they would have called it a teeth brush. As opposed to a toothbrush. Everybody only has one tooth in...
This is the first time I'm hearing this.
Okay, all right. So, yes.
Welcome to ComedyTalk.com.
Thanks, folks. We'll be here all night. Yeah, I'm not even being heckled. I just lost 6 points in case or no case because of that joke.
That's right.
All right, yeah. So we're getting...
Show me the money.
We've got stuff to talk about here. We're going to get to the Bill Cosby case. We're going to address one more football case, tragic football case that happened, and we'll get to all that. Again, shout out to everyone listening on the Armed Forces Radio Network and those listening from Dallas and the Amargosa Valley and Reno and Ely and Minnesota and Chicago and... You know,
where's Fred?
Fred is on assignment, and we'll get the details of his assignment.
He's not on assignment. He's sloughing off. Come on.
I thought he had too much fun last night.
Well, that's his assignment, you know.
Is to get away from him. Take a deep breath. Huh?
Yes. Well, you know, what happened was somebody drew him a bath. They threw a little bit of Calgon in there, and he never made it back.
Ba-dum-bum.
Okay, all right, I'll just stop the bad dad jokes now. But in addition to the cases we have to get to, we will also have the third hour of our staple case or no case. Cal, take it away.
All right, here we go.
And now it's time to play case or no case.
Yay!
Are we tripling points?
Doubling points today. This is a double points case or no case, ladies and gentlemen. Remember, at home, no wagering. It's important. We've got to make this very clear. No betting allowed at home. In New Jersey.
No case. Sorry. I retract that.
I take you now to the great state. I want to just make Chris happy. To the great state of New Jersey.
Oxymoron, no case.
Where a woman, great state in New Jersey, where a woman was blessed with twins. However, of course, having twins is difficult, especially when you don't have someone else in the house to help provide for those children. So she, as is the normal procedure in that case, applied to the state for some assistance. On the application, she named the twins' baby's father. So this is the daddy of the babies. And he said, no, it's not me. She said, yeah, it is. He said, no, it's not me. So, something unusual here. The state of New Jersey said, let's do a DNA test. And remember, these are fraternal twins born on the same day.
They do a DNA test, and they come back and say, well, you're half right. Case or no case? Todd.
Case or no case? And what's the outcome of the...
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, the case of the... What are we going to call this? The human litter?
The
multiple... This is odd.
Multiple partner twins.
So you said they were fraternal twins, so they're not obviously identical.
No, they couldn't be identical.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. So what is the outcome here? I am going to say first that this is a case.
And who sued who? Who do you think sued
who? The mom is seeking support.
Aid. She's seeking aid.
She's seeking aid. And usually what happens, if I'm correct, when somebody goes and applies for financial aid, like welfare or something like that, the state, as a matter of policy, will require a child support order to be in place to help repay the financial aid.
It's actually the county.
Yes.
That's right. So the county then does something to get repaid because it's county aid usually.
Yeah. So I'm going to say, yes, it's a case.
Okay.
And I will say, I guess the real question is, because it's only paternity for one of the children and not both, I'm going to say that he has to pay an amount of child support, but for only one of the children, not both of them. They still have to determine the paternity for the other. I mean, I look at it this way. What if she was seeking aid, and she was seeking aid for children that were separate in ages? One was one and one was six. Okay? I think in a situation like that, and she admitted, look, yeah, they had different fathers. Well, the one would have to pay the child support for his child, and then you'd have to go and get a support order against the father of the other child. And if they were separate ages, I think it would be an easy case. I think the fact that they were both raised in the same womb, so to speak.
There were womb mates.
Womb mates. Yes. I don't think that it would be – I don't think the procedure would be any different. He has to pay child support for his child, but not both.
All right, that's your determination.
Yes.
Case, and he pays for half the child support, or
he pays for his portion for the one child, however they choose to allocate.
You remember the California case where a woman had twins, the man was determined not to be the father, and he had to pay anyway. You do remember that, right? Okay, now, so that's your answer, Todd. Now,
Chris, and you know why, right?
I never did understand why.
Because he held the child out to be...
Oh, he claimed it was his.
Yes.
It's called a presumption under law.
Just to clarify here, because that's a key distinction, in this case here, he has denied paternity of
both
from the get-go.
Right.
Okay.
Yes. Not my baby.
My answer stays.
Okay. Chris, what do you think?
So I'm so far behind here, and it's a double. I'm going to take a go out on a limb.
Okay.
And I am going to say that the laws of the state of New Jersey were written in such a way that they never contemplated a situation where a woman could be pregnant with someone's child, but simultaneously be pregnant with a child that is not the father, belong to the father of the one child. So I'm going to say that because nobody in the legislature, when the rules were written, would have envisioned this scenario, that the language of the statute that controls was poorly worded for purposes of this poor soul, and so he is going to have to pay child support for both children because of the way that the statute is written.
I think that's a logical possibility. Denise, we have less than a minute left.
Holy cow.
Do you want to just hold on a little bit?
She's the only one who knows what she's talking about here.
Well,
in this area.
Well, no, I'm just sitting here thinking strategically, can't win.
Say no case. Just say no case.
The only way to keep pace or to come ahead is you could say no case. You could say no case, in which point you'd get the 4 points and I would be out. Or you can agree with me just to hedge your bets to not go any further behind.
Or you could do the stupidest thing of all time and say, I agree with Rodriguez.
But you know what? I kind of agree with you.
But we
it's got to be weird.
But we are at 15 seconds left getting ready, so I'll let you think about this crucial decision, Denise,
okay,
while we go to break. Cal, take us away.
We'll be back with Radio Law Talk.
right after this.
All advertising for legal services on Radio Law Talk is strictly for the state or states in which the advertiser is licensed. For more information, go to RadioLawTalk.com. Business needs growth to survive, and Accelerate U is in the business of growing your business. Accelerate U gets it. They have sales professionals, real top talent teams. Accelerate U has venture capitalists, and Accelerate U has strategic partners who roll up their sleeves and help you grow your business. It's what they do. They help people in business just like you. In fact, last year, Accelerate U launched 30 successful go-to markets for startup companies. With success like that, you can see why Accelerate U is able to only work with a select group of companies, perhaps yours. If you want to increase revenue for your business, call 916-BETTER-ZERO. That's 916-237-7370. 916-BETTER-ZERO. Come on, grab the phone. Make the call. Accelerate U. 916-BETTER-ZERO. Again, call 916-BETTER-ZERO for Accelerate.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original, most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
With uncertain times in the United States, it's only prudent to consider storing precious metals in a safe place outside our borders. At Miles Franklin, we have done just that for you. Partnered with the most respected storage company in the industry, Miles Franklin is proud to offer the only fully insured private safe deposit box program in North America, held in Vancouver and Toronto. Send us your previously purchased precious metals or have one of our brokers help you purchase something new. Questions? Please call one of our experienced brokers at 866-485-4346. Solid Foundational Storage, partnered with the most respected name in security, maintaining an A+ Better Business Bureau rating and residing in Minnesota, the only state in America that regulates the precious metals industry, making doing business in precious metals with Miles Franklin the safest choice. Call us at 866-485-4346. Again, that's 866-485-4346. Miles Franklin Limited, a name you can trust.
Get the ultimate knife at an ultimate price. The Fox Karambit Knife. Finally available in the U.S. The Fox Karambit Knife opens with one hand, faster than you can pull a handgun. For utility, for defense, and for way less than other knives of this caliber. Go to TheUltimateKnife.com. Truly the best knife you will ever own. And only available at TheUltimateKnife.com. Use promo code radio at checkout for free shipping. Get the ultimate knife at the ultimate price at TheUltimateKnife.com.
And.com. The following announcement brought to you by SacramentoLawyer.com.
Finding the right lawyer for your particular needs can be confusing. With all the commercials and listings, and who's to say whether the lawyers there are even any good at what they do. So when you're looking for a lawyer, it makes sense to find someone local with the experience and expertise in that area of the law where you have a need. That's why there is SacramentoLawyer.com.
SacramentoLawyer.com.
At SacramentoLawyer.com, you just browse the site, free, and see the Facebook reviews on the firms you're considering with just a simple mouse click. That way you learn a little bit more about the lawyers there before you start making this critical decision. And there's no pressure. Use the right tool to find the lawyer that's best for you by going to SacramentoLawyer.com.
SacramentoLawyer.com.
That's SacramentoLawyer.com.
All advertising for legal services on Radio Law Talk is strictly for the state or states in which the advertiser is licensed. For more information, go to RadioLawTalk.com.
We really want to make that point because some people say, wait a minute, Cal, can I get Mr. Kunin to represent me in Texas? No. No.
No, yeah, that would be a difficult thing to do.
So now we're back to Radio Law Talk and RadioLawTalk.com.
So you're telling me there's a chance.
Chris Rodriguez hanging on by the skin of his teeth, hoping he can get a case or no case double point out of this.
And Denise is going to give us her answer as to whether our case of the fraternal twins with two different daddies, how it is resolved in the great state, critical to this discussion, in the great state of New Jersey.
So I've got to add my manipulative, competitive, trash-talking, like we're playing poker. Is that all you're going to bet, huh? I mean, come on, Denise, how confident are you? How badly do you want to win this? I am sitting here at 67 points. You are at a mere 63 points.
Four.
64 points. Oh, you know what? If you guessed no case and you prevailed, you could take the lead by
okay.
one.
Let me just go through the facts again. We've got fraternal twins born to a single mother. The single mother applies for aid. She names the father. The father said, no, it's not me. And so they decide to do a DNA test. And father was a father to one of the twins. So they don't know the father of the other twin yet.
Correct.
Okay.
Is this woman named Snooky?
And the twins have been born, right?
Might be. Yeah, the twins are born. They did the DNA test. They know everything that's going on. They've got all that figured out. Yeah.
Okay.
Ronnie.
Right.
Ronnie is the father of one.
Do you have any names for me?
I could. I just
Paulie D.
Kevin and Brittany. So what's it going to be there,
okay,
Denise?
Okay, I'm just going to because I there's the strategy here is. Really not a good one for me.
Okay.
So I'm going to say that it is not a case.
You're saying no case at all.
You talked her into it.
No, he didn't. I was thinking that anyway because Cal said, you remember the California case, and I'm thinking, well, maybe he just put it in New Jersey, so it's not a case in New Jersey.
She's going to be egg on my face if she's right.
Hmm.
Got a little mud on my boot.
That's right. Okay, so the premise being laid out, let me tell you that this particular circumstance is very rare. At the time this case came up in New Jersey, this was the... And, oh, yes, by the way, it is a case. At the time...
Sorry, Denise.
This case came up in New Jersey, it was only the third time in the country, the third time that a case of fraternal twins, because Chris was correct in his assessment that no legislature said, well, sure, a woman's going to have sex with two separate men in the same cycle, and she's going to have fraternal twins, and it'll be two babies fathered, different fathers.
What year was this case?
You know, I don't know. That's probably a key question, but I really do not know.
I'm going to guess it was in
71.
A New York club in the early 80s.
Well, they had DNA, and it was used as a part of law to legally determine who the parents were, so I'm assuming it's fairly recent. But according to a couple of articles, the judge noted that he found two cases relating to this phenomenon known as superfecundation. That means two separate daddies for fraternal twins. NBC New York reported that it's not rare, quite that rare, but it was certainly rare. 1997 was the last case in New Jersey before that. So anyway, here we have it. Separate fathers and the gentleman who was determined to be the baby father. The question is, how much child support would he have to pay? Isn't that what we're talking
about?
Yes. Yeah.
Those of you who said he'd have to pay all, raise your hand. Those of you who say he'd have to pay half, Mr. Cunin. So, Todd got all 4 points.
71 and feeling fun.
Yeah. All
and that means
points.
That I need to just trust my instinct and not get sidelined.
Okay. And certainly not pay any attention to what Todd says to you. That would be
me. Absolutely. That's my second diamond.
Todd had an unfair advantage because, little known fact, he actually fathered... one fraternal twin and not the other in very recently.
So
he knows how this all works.
So Todd gets 4 points?
4 points. It was double points.
I can't even do the math on that.
Well, 67 plus 4 is 77.
Yeah, it's not 72.
No,
it's 72, 30 million.
Yeah. Oh, 71.
And that concludes, ladies and gentlemen, this edition of Case... or no case.
Well,
thank you all for playing.
And Chris, you got 2 points.
Yes, I did. But you, the beauty of that, Todd is so skilled as a lawyer. It's almost like in A Few Good Men, where Tom Cruise baits Jack Nicholson into, you know, the whole, you're G.D. Wright I did, right?
Right.
He sat there and said, Denise, the only strategy you have. He knew it was a case, and he led you right into it.
And you want to know what that the motto of that story is, or the moral of the story is?
Never trust a
criminal lawyer.
Oh, come on.
Oh, come on. Okay, let's get back to our case.
She was sick the day they taught law at law school.
All right. So,
and by the way, Fred Penny did tweet us and say he was actually on assignment. His assignment, however, is buying furniture for a college dorm room. So our hearts go out to Fred, who's out in furniture.
Well, that's a heck of an assignment, I'll tell you what.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to step back to football really quickly because we have a case. Denise, let's really quickly get it set up, and then we'll talk about the nuts and bolts of the case when we come back. This is a high school football player.
Yeah, it's a private school, a private Catholic high school, and the lawsuit involves the archdiocese, right?
That's right. So, in essence, he was injured and then went home and then came back, was allowed to return to practice by the coaches, suffered a similar injury, and then died. Is that right?
Yeah.
And when that happened, the family brought suit against the coaches for allowing him to get back into class. It was a private Catholic high school, so they've sued all the way up the chain. Deep pockets, and we are going to talk about the issues that were attendant to that case. When we return, you're listening to Radio Law Talk on your favorite radio station. If you want to call us
at 855 Law Radio because we want you to chime in.
All advertising for legal services on Radio Law Talk is strictly for the state or states in which the advertiser is licensed. For more information, go to RadioLawTalk.com.
My name is Frederick Penny of Penny & Associates Injury Lawyers. I've assembled an excellent team of highly experienced personal injury trial lawyers. We understand the other side, which gives us a distinct advantage over our competition. At Penny & Associates, we will aggressively represent you and your family when someone has been injured in an accident. Remember, we don't get paid unless we win.
For a free initial consultation, go to PennyLawyers.com or call 1-800-616-4LAW and ask for Frederick, Stuart, Rob, Kevin, Kent, or Will. That's Frederick Penny at Penny & Associates Injury Lawyers, 1-800-616-4LAW.
This is Denise Dirks. We can represent clients in divorce, legal separation, child and spousal support, custody, termination of parental rights, step-parent adoptions, guardianships, and even conservatorship matters. Call 1-877-886-7186 for a consultation.
The law offices of Denise L. Dirks provide family law services in Northern California. When the law affects your family, call 877-886-7186. The family of attorneys at Denise L. Dirks is here to help.
Hi, I'm Frederick Penny of Penny & Associates Injury Lawyers. I bet you're tired of hearing lawyer commercials, so just relax and listen to music for a few seconds. When you or a family member has been injured, call 800-616-4LAW or see us at PennyAndAssociates.com. See, that wasn't so bad.
Many women have so many clothes in the closet, but then we go to get dressed and find we have nothing to wear. Ah! We've all been there. We all want to be comfortable and fashionable at the same time, and it's difficult to find clothing that makes that task effortless. But at Letty & Company, you can find trendy, comfortable clothing that is affordable. Things you'll want to wear every day. Shop with a purpose, online, with free shipping. Just go to...
USA Radio News.
I'm Robin Walensky. President Trump says he's received a tremendous response for revoking John Brennan's security clearance. Brennan, the former CIA director, Secretary of Defense James Mattis weighs in.
I have taken security clearances away from people in my previous time in uniform.
Former First Lady Rosalynn Carter celebrating her 91st birthday today. In other news, former UN Secretary General Kofi Annan has died. He was 80 years old.
I hope that when next time one is dealing with a broader threat to the international community, one will wait and seek the approval of the Security Council.
Back in 2001, he receives the Nobel Peace Prize.
Peace must be sought above all because it is the condition for every member of the human family to live a life of dignity and security.
This is USA Radio News.
Money! 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 Money. You gotta have it. When you need it, what do you do? If you don't have a rich uncle, call LendingTree. With us, hundreds of banks compete for your business, so you'll get loans with competitive interest rates, and in some cases, with no closing costs. So here's the deal. If you need money, call us. Do you want to refinance your current loan? Are you 62 or older and interested in a reverse mortgage? Then call LendingTree now. 800-634-1315. 800-634-1315. We've closed over $250 billion in loans. We know what we're doing and can help you. Call right now for a free quote. 800-634-1315. 800-634-1315. 800-634-1315. That's 800-634-1315. NMLS number 1136.
It's been said, any society is only three missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
The attorneys you hear on the panel at RadioLawTalk.com are all licensed to practice law in California. But if you want a lawyer, no matter where you're listening, you can check our website, RadioLawTalk.com. There's a button there that says, Talk to a Lawyer. Press it. It's that easy. And of course, we thank you for listening to Radio Law Talk.
Welcome back. We are in the home stretch here on Radio Law Talk. Cal, put the riding crop away.
I was just
I thought I was a bubblehead.
Yeah, so we're in the home stretch here, and when we went into the break, we had briefly laid out the next case that we're going to talk about, and I misspoke. This is about a kid in Mobile, Alabama, that suffered an injury while practicing with his high school football team, and I said he died. He did not. He suffered a subdural hematoma, had to have extensive surgeries, and they're seeking damages as a result of that. But in essence, what happened, what is alleged to have happened, and I really wish that Fred were here because this is the type of case that is in his wheelhouse. And so, Fred, if you're listening and you text really quickly, we can include your comments in terms of this. But what happened is on May 7th, 2015, the kid was in practice. And I think a salient point here is that he was involved in a tackling drill that resulted in several blows to the head, and he lost consciousness. This was on May 7th. He loses consciousness. Then he goes home. Comes back to practice on the 11th. As alleged, there were no clearances from the doctor clearing him to come back to practice or anything. The coaches let him come back in.
He was complaining of headaches. He was acting irritably.
And he got involved in the exact same drill that he had been hurt in before and suffered as a result of that. Additional head trauma, was taken to the hospital where ultimately they had to do surgery on his brain to alleviate swelling and take care of the subdural hematoma, and the lawsuit is being filed against the coaches and everybody on up the line all the way up to the archdiocese because this is a private Catholic high school, basically alleging negligence on the part of the coaches for allowing him to participate in the drill again.
And what was the defense, Chris? You know what the defense was?
Well, I mean, I'm assuming the defense was that they didn't act negligently. That they're saying that he had some sort of a pre-existing medical condition that you know, caused this problem.
Right.
I don't know how that is going to be an effective defense, given what the facts that Todd just laid out are.
Can't a coach say, I'm not a doctor? The guy came back. He said he felt okay. We put him in. What am I, a medical professional here? How am I supposed to know?
When I first read this, that was my thought, okay, because in the entire research that we've done and we've looked a bit this case, the articles, nowhere does it ever reference what the parents did. Your boy comes home from football practice, where he tells you, I got headaches, you know, arguably, you would think that this conversation would have to come up if the argument from the plaintiff is his condition was so obvious by the way he was acting that anybody should have noticed this. Then you would have to assume that this is taking place at home. Where's mom and dad or any of the parents or the guardian saying, you're not going back to play football, you got knocked out.
Thank you.
You know, where is anything like that?
Well, because when he lost consciousness, they should have sent him to the doctor right away.
And that's what I saw with this. When I first read it, I kind of skimmed over the fact that he lost consciousness on the 7th of May.
Right.
And the other thing is, and I'm not certain what the law is in Alabama, but I'm not certain if they are a state, and again, wish Fred were here, if they're one of those states where, look, if the parents are negligent and the coach is negligent, they can both be jointly liable for what happened. And maybe what the parents did or didn't do is an offset, but the coaches would still have liability because the coaches are saying, we didn't require a doctor's note to allow him to come into practice because we would not normally have done that. We didn't know there was an issue. And I think that but I think the plaintiff would be saying, he was unconscious as a result of a hit 3 days earlier. What policy do you have, or why do you not why do you not have a policy that would require a doctor's note to allow somebody to come back to practice after you observed them losing consciousness as a result of a hit?
I think 10 years ago, we wouldn't even have had a lawsuit here. But football coaches now are so acutely aware of the dangers of the sport of football, especially with respect to head injuries, that I think it is reasonable to expect that a football coach is going to be very cautious when it comes to head injuries by their players. And there's this defense of assumption of the risk. And I think parents do assume the risk when they send their kid out to play high school football that it's a dangerous sport.
But the child can't assume the risk.
The child cannot, but the parents, you know, obviously are allowing or presumably allowing the student to go out there and play.
Right.
But I think that whoever allows their child to play football now expects that the coaches are going to be properly trained and they're going to be properly mindful of the dangers that football poses to potential brain trauma and things like that. And so to the extent these coaches fell short of that standard of care, which it sounds like they did, they're going to be in trouble.
Yes, and the allegation is that Garner, one of the coaches, took an affirmative act on May 11th, when the child came back after having lost consciousness, and he observed the child for headaches and other symptoms, and then he still allowed him to practice.
And
so that's an affirmative act.
And if you have video of this practice, it probably gets even worse.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there's probably he's getting called names for, you know,
peer pressure.
Yeah.
He's going to get a lot.
Come on. What's his name? Williams. Come on, Williams. Get in there. Quit being a you-know-what.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That happens. I think it puts football coaches in a bit of a difficult situation because we've covered other cases. We've covered a case with a college football player that had a stinger and it was down his hand, and every time he lowered his head a little bit, he would lose, you know, his ability to balance. But they still put him back in the game, gave him a shot, and did all that. And I think the difficulty for a college or for a football coach is this: you have a group, let's say you're looking at a line of kids in front of you, and some kids have legitimate injuries and they're complaining of symptomology and they should not go back in. But right next to them is another kid that has a boo-boo and is complaining just as vociferously as the kid who has a legitimate injury. And if the coach were to say, every kid that looks at me that has a boo-boo, needs to now go get medical clearance, you'd be left with a practice roster of about four kids. And it would be difficult. It's hard because you're saying what you're saying is right. The coach is like, I'm not a doctor. How do I tell the legitimate injuries from the ones where, son, you got to suck it up and get out there.
Yeah, you got a bruised bone.
Yeah, Cal.
Well, the great Mike Rowe once said that anybody who says your safety is my first priority is telling you a lie. An airline pilot says your safety is my first priority. No, his safety is his first priority, but it's also completing his task. And a football coach sees a guy that may or may not be seriously hurt. He doesn't know. He's no doctor. What's his objective? Get players in the game, win the game, or get them into practice and teach them how to win the game. That's his objective. Safety is not his first priority. It's not his only priority. His priority is very different than that. And I think that it's important to understand that we don't live in a risk-free world. Yeah. There are some activities that you partake in that have risks. And I think we have somehow figured out that we don't have to remember that.
You know, and one thing I think that's interesting about the complaints and what we've been talking about is you compare this phenomenon with, the one thing that coach has to deal with is some kids that won't even come forward with the arguments. And you see this, or with the complaints, you see this more in the professional level. When the NFL got to this concussion protocol that they had to employ, where if there was a hit and you went and complained in it, then you had to sit out a certain number of plays. They put you into the blue tent to do all of that. There were players that went out of their way to avoid the medical staff, to avoid the coaching staff, to avoid complaining about anything because they want to lobby to stay in the game.
Mm-hmm.
In baseball, when you see a trainer go out and talk to a player who has been injured on a play, it is generally accepted that the trainer is going out there trying to talk the player into coming out of the ball game, and the player is the one lobbying to stay in by saying, I'm okay, it didn't hurt, it wasn't, you know.
Yep.
And that's the difference between the pro game and a college game and a high school game, where in the high school game, kids are playing because mom and dad want them to, and they think it's expected, and they're looking for any excuse to get out of it. Just an interesting dynamic, but it puts coaches in a tough spot. And we are coming up on our final break. We are rounding the final turn, coming toward the home stretch, and when we come back, we're going to talk about Bill Cosby and what he is facing in Pennsylvania as a result of determinations based not in no small part, on his mental health. And with that, we will be back on Radio Law Talk after these messages.
All advertising for legal services on Radio Law Talk is strictly for the state or states in which the advertiser is licensed. For more information, go to RadioLawTalk.com.
Business needs growth to survive, and Accelerate U is in the business of growing your business. Accelerate U gets it. They have sales professionals, real top talent teams. Accelerate U has venture capitalists, and Accelerate U has strategic partners who roll up their sleeves and help you grow your business. It's what they do. They help people in business just like you. In fact, last year, Accelerate U launched 30 successful go-to markets for startup companies. With success like that, you can see why Accelerate U is able to only work with a select group of companies, perhaps yours. If you want to increase revenue for your business, call 916-BETTER-ZERO. That's 916-237-7370. 916-BETTER-ZERO. Come on, grab the phone. Make the call. Accelerate U. 916-BETTER-ZERO. Again, call 916-BETTER-ZERO for Accelerate U.
Healthcare reform is confusing. With the loss of the Obamacare mandate, those needing help can now choose an affordable alternative. By joining Liberty HealthShare, you're part of a community of health-conscious Americans all over the country who control their own healthcare costs and choices. Liberty HealthShare is not insurance. It is an association of self-pay patients who unite with like-minded people to share the cost of their medical needs. Neighbor helping neighbor. Learn more now by going to LibertyOnCall.org. That's LibertyOnCall.org.
Have you experienced the miracle of CBDs? They can help you reduce suffering, reduce stress, help you sleep better, modulate inflammation in the body, and is absolutely safe. MetaHemp Solutions offers a radically innovative approach to CBDs for exceptional results. Stop suffering and reduce your stress now. Isn't it time for a good night's sleep? Stop worrying about tomorrow today. Lab tested for potency, purity, and is non-psychoactive. Free shipping to all 50 states. Try our product risk-free, money-back guarantee. Use code GCN15 to get 15% off. That's code GCN15 to get 15% off. Offer ends soon, so visit MetaHemp Solutions today at MetaHempSolutions.com or call 833-858-7500. Suffer no more. Get rid of the stress and sleep better. Get our product now at MetaHempSolutions.com. That's MetaHempSolutions.com.
ProPure Gravity Water Filters. Most tested, most trusted. The Pro One G2.0 all-in-one filter by ProPure removes and reduces up to 200 plus contaminants, including fluoride, lead, and more. There's no priming required, no add-on filter needed for fluoride reduction, and it's totally reusable. There's a size to fit most competitive brands of gravity water filter systems. ProPure Water Filters. When you don't know what's in your water, visit an authorized ProPure dealer or ProPureUSA.com.
If you talk your name, we'll hear you.
Why are we getting killed like this?
Kyle's not here. Got caught drinking beer in the park a couple of nights ago.
Really?
Yeah. Zero tolerance. He's out for the season.
Harsh.
Hey, he knew not to drink. We've made that clear to all of our kids, right?
No, not really.
Bill, if we don't tell them what we expect and why they shouldn't drink, how are they going to know?
Talk. They hear you.
Hear you. You can do it if you try.
We are GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. We've got listeners, lots of them. Around the world, around the clock, our listeners do what listeners do. They listen. And you know what listeners got? Needs. Needs for your products, your services, and money to buy those needs. With our network of over 1,000 radio stations, streaming on the web, and our satellite transmissions, we're reaching our listeners with quality conservative programming. But there's something our listeners don't have. Your offer to meet their needs. Any business needs buyers. But if our listeners don't hear your message, they're still going to buy what they need. Just not from your business. So let's fix this. Tell us about your business. Then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message for our GCN listeners. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email. advertise@gcnlive.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you, too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
They're living in at school, but he looked very relaxed.
I think the store owner came over and said, "Sir, you know, we will allow you to sit on this to test it, but there is no relaxing on this furniture." I went to the Denial Flea Market in Sacramento, a very popular big flea market. I went to a furniture deal, and they had a sign on the couch. "You may sit on this to test it, but please, no relaxing." Well, maybe they have that in the store, for instance. It was kind of funny.
That's the only way to enjoy furniture shopping is to find the most comfortable couch you can and just plant yourself there until it's time to leave.
Yeah, and tell your wife how much is it going to cost me and when's it going to be delivered.
Right. Well, I don't know that Fred's going to like it if we said, well, and a discussion about Fred segues nicely into a discussion of Bill Cosby. So we don't want to link those two, but we do have to talk about Mr. Cosby and what happened in Pennsylvania.
For those of you that don't know who Bill Cosby is, Bill Cosby is a famous actor and actually a comedian. I've seen him personally. I saw him up in Anchorage, Alaska. Funny. He would always talk about families, and he'd make jokes about how his brother and him used to steal the sheets in the bed and across, you know, they had a fake line drawn in their bed and had troubles they would get into and their dad coming in, and that would be the end of the...
He's caused a lot of trouble in beds.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Allegedly.
Guess that's true.
Yes.
I guess not allegedly.
Well, one of them was proven, and that's what's happening here in the state of Pennsylvania. He was found guilty in a criminal case relating to sexual assault. The M.O. that they had for this was that he would slip.
He would drug,
it's often referred to as slipping him a Mickey, something like that, that reduced the ability of whoever had consumed it to say no, to offer consent, to even fight or do anything. So he had been found guilty of that in Pennsylvania, and he is awaiting sentencing. Now, he's 80 years old, 81, and while he's awaiting sentencing, he is on home detention. And the most recent thing that came out of Pennsylvania is a determination, a pre-sentencing determination by a panel that Mr. Cosby meets the criteria and is and should be designated a sexually violent predator.
Now, what's really interesting about this is he hasn't even been sentenced yet by the judge. Sentencing is going to occur September 24th and 25th. So this is a state board of Pennsylvania that's making this determination prior to sentencing.
Is it going to be a two-day sentencing? It's like a made-for-TV event where we're going to, drag it out over 2 days to
Because
get more
in
ratings?
The sentencing, their victims get to talk, okay. And you have a lot of things that happen in the sentencing hearing.
And so what happens? Because the first question that we had when we first looked at this case, and what folks might be thinking about right now is, well, what about due process? This panel just says he's a sexually violent predator, an SVP, if you will, and he just has to take that. Doesn't he have the ability to challenge that determination? And the answer is yes, he does. The panel has made the recommendation that he be designated an SVP by the judge. That is submitted to the judge, and what they will do, Cosby has two choices. Either A, he can agree to the designation, and probably won't, and if he doesn't, then they will hold a hearing where the panel will present their evidence and their experts as to why he should be designated a sexually violent predator, and Mr. Cosby will present his experts as to why he should not be designated a sexually violent predator. And in doing that,
the first argument will be, I'm 81 years old.
Exactly. Now,
but also, there's a lot of consequence with being designated a SVP.
That's right.
He's going to virtually have to report every single month to the police for the rest of his life if he has this designation.
So this is what happens for him if he is designated an SVP. And we're going to talk about the distinction between the states, because this is an SVP determination in Pennsylvania. So if it is adjudicated and he's determined to be an SVP, in addition to whatever sentence he has to serve, he'll have lifetime registration with the state police department, and he'll have to update that quarterly. At least monthly for the rest of his life, he'll have to have mandatory sex offender counseling with treatment provider. And he'll have to have what's called active community notification, whereby law enforcement agencies will notify the neighbors, county children and youth agencies, local daycare centers, school districts, and institutions of higher education of the SVP, Mr. Cosby's name, residential address, and provide a photograph of him. So that is what it means to have an SVP determination in Pennsylvania. Now, here's something interesting. Okay. In Pennsylvania, it requires a determination by a panel and a hearing to get all of this. In California, all you have to be is convicted. If you are convicted of a sex offense that requires registration under Penal Code Section 290, you essentially have to do all of those things, and you don't have to. In California, it doesn't require a recommendation.
I thought that if you were, it's actually designated at the time that the criminal is going to get out of prison, then they have that designation, then they have to go into a mental health institution.
Here's the difference, okay? So in Pennsylvania, to get somebody to have to register, basically the Megan's Law website, to have to register with the police and have everybody else notified of your crime, it requires a Pennsylvanian designation as a sexually violent predator. In California, to have the requirement that you register, that you be on the Megan's Law website and that people know who you are. It does not require a sexually violent predator designation. All it requires is a conviction of a prerequisite crime.
Got it.
Because in California, the designation of a sexually violent predator means something completely different in terms of how it affects you and when that effect takes place, Chris.
If I were defending Bill Cosby, my argument would be, A, he's 81 years old. Is he really a sexually violent predator? B, part of the reason that we would even make a finding that he is a sexually violent predator is so he would register on some website. So if somebody wants to look up, is there anybody in my neighborhood that is dangerous, I can know about it. Who doesn't know that Bill Cosby, that you shouldn't accept a drink from Bill Cosby?
Yeah, they also...
I mean, let's be real here. So I think we're getting into this area where prosecutors sometimes do things for the show of it. And it may be important for the community in general to have him, you know, go through this process to show that he's being treated equal, to educate people about what the systems are out there to protect them. But in terms of a real... you know, real-world important impact that Bill Cosby be designated as such, I just don't see it.
So let's talk for just a second about what California, because this is different. They use the same terms, but they're used so differently. In California, the sexually violent predator determination is not made before sentencing. The SVP determination is actually made. It starts when a person reaches the point where they're about 6 months away from being released from prison on parole. So let's say somebody has done 20 years of their crime. They're getting ready to get out. Okay? The state mental hospital will go in and do an evaluation if their conviction was for one of the necessary
crimes. A psychological evaluation.
A psych eval. And then, if they determine, the person will have to have a trial in the county in which they were originally convicted to determine whether or not they should be, after a jury trial, designated as a sexually violent predator. And if they are, they never get out of prison. They go right to the mental health facility for an indeterminate period of time.
That's right.
And they hardly ever get out. And with that, folks, we are out of time.
Todd, would you accept a Jell-O pudding pop from Bill Cosby?
I would not.
Okay. I rest my case.
I would watch you walk.
Well, he's legally blind, so he might be propositioning Todd.
Oh, I don't know.
A mistake.
I don't know. But, everybody, we really miss Fred Penny today. He will be back next week. Thank you for tuning in to Radio Law Talk. Thank you to the Armed Forces Radio Network, to Nevada, to Dallas, to Minnesota. We have enjoyed our time here. And Satellite.
Chicago.
We will be back next week. Thank you for tuning in to Radio Law Talk. I'm Todd Kunin for Denise Dirks, Chris Rodriguez, and Cal Hunter. Have a good week, everybody.
You have been listening to RadioLawTalk.com, a copyrighted presentation of Radio Law Talk, Incorporated.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry My Pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.